You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Devin.
What up?
What are we all doing on a Friday morning, June 1st? Following a Game 1 NBA Finals, which we will get to because, oh my goodness, is there a lot to touch on there. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
You know, last week for school, don't have to worry about driving kids to and from anymore.
Very nice.
Nice.
Yep, and I got high school graduation today. My oldest is graduating, so busy day ahead for me. Devin, you're just over there just... Life is easy.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
You have that look on
my life is easy.
You have that look on your face like life was easy. That's what I'm saying.
The struggle is real. I was raised on the streets.
Oh dear, the streets of
producing ain't easy.
No, it's not.
Got to deal with you two.
Oh boy.
Got to deal with this NBA stuff. I got to deal with no Utah Jazz.
This is getting out of hand before we even get started. All right, let's start off with the number one topic of the morning that we usually always start with, and that's our Utah Jazz. John, do we have anything Utah Jazz related to discuss?
I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, nothing. Nothing beyond like TMZ stuff. I mean, it's really been slow. The only news right now for Jazz is that they're bringing in different guys for workouts. I don't really know what to glean from any of those. So I figure we can look more into the draft in later weeks as it gets closer. But right now, I don't really see anything to talk about.
Had a little bit of interesting piece of news regarding the draft workouts the other day. Had a player collapse.
Yep.
You remember seeing that?
Yep.
Saw that. Andy Larson was live tweeting it when it happened. I just didn't know did anything ever come of it? Did they decide what it was?
I thought it was a back spasm.
Okay. All right. But
he's a guy that they like. I think his name's something like Kira Bates Diop.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder if is he any relation to Dasani Diop,
right?
Assistant Jazz coach.
Yep.
I don't know. I haven't looked that up yet, but I know he's someone that I've seen more than one person float that the Jazz like him at that spot.
Okay.
So hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Other than that, no, I haven't. Any standouts as far as the workouts, any players that really have interested in Jazz? I haven't kept up on these workouts, so I don't know that there's – and like you said, the draft, we'll talk draft as it gets closer because we're about 3 weeks away from draft, almost 4 weeks away from the draft. So, and then summer league 2 weeks after that or a week after that. So, I mean, we'll get to it, but is there anything of note as far as these workouts of players that we should kind of keep an eye on for the Jazz?
I think maybe later. I haven't done as much with the draft this year as usual because Draft Express is dead and I don't have ESPN Insider this year. So I'm getting a lot of my stuff from the 5x5, which Mark Wallen contributes to. They've been doing pretty good previews on draft workouts and players. And then, of course, you know, tweets from Andy Larson and whatnot.
All right. Well, then in the coming weeks, we will delve into it a little deeper and we'll get there. So for those who were expecting a whole lot of Utah Jazz talk, I think it's fair to say we're not going to be able to do that this week. And that's okay because we're going to, you know, let's go ahead and transition to our second topic. And that is, you know, the NBA as a whole, and no better place to start than the NBA Finals that just kicked off last night, the night before we're recording. So let's talk about that game. I mean, we got the best player on the planet on a stage against, well, what we have seen is the best team. We've got a repeat for the fourth year in a row of Golden State and Cleveland. And I know everybody gets, I tweeted this out last night. I know everybody gets sick of the same old dog and pony show, but I really think people need to sit back and enjoy this while it's happening because, you know, you got Golden State and you got LeBron and you're not going to have this for very much longer. And it's it's been fun to watch. And last night was no exception.
Yeah, it was a really good game. It was nice to see it be competitive all the way through. And, you know, it just felt so typical. I think last night's game, even if they win the series, I still think LeBron might just leave Cleveland after what J.R. Smith did. I mean, LeBron scores 51. And here's the thing. If J.R. Smith shoots the ball and misses and they go to overtime, everyone can live with that. But to just not be aware what the score is and dribble out the clock was just amazing to me. I mean, he was a minus 22 in 38 minutes, worst one on the team. You have Korver, who's only playing 16 minutes. He's a plus 12. And the supporting cast is obviously so thin, and LeBron just has to have these superhuman games to get them to a tie and lose in overtime, and it's still not enough.
Well, before we delve into the Devin, you got something. I know you do. I see it. You're waiting.
Do we want to talk about J.R. Smith?
That's what we're doing.
Do we really want to go there? Because y'all are really, you're really going hard on my guy here.
Oh boy.
NBA champion J.R. Smith pulls the ball out. Dribbles out, what, 3.5 seconds off of a less than 5 second clock. But it's not just him, guys. It's not just him. As soon as he had that board, why isn't NBA head coach Ty Lue? Yeah, I can't believe those words come out of my mouth.
Calling a timeout?
Why doesn't he call a timeout? You've got 5 seconds. You've got the best player in the world. Make sure that you get the ball inbounded to him. And if you can't get the ball inbounded to him, you know why? It's because someone else is open. You've got Kyle Korver. You've got Kevin Love. You don't need a three even. You get whatever you can at that point. So why no timeout?
Yeah. I agree.
I don't know. Maybe I hesitate to even say this. We'll never know, but what if Lou didn't realize he still had a timeout?
Then he's worse than JR is. At least JR's in the game doing something.
I'm already on record saying that I believe that LeBron's going to leave and that Lou will then be fired as head coach. I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron stays and they fire Lou as head coach. I mean, it's been just amazing that they've been able to get to this point.
No, it's nuts. And we talked.
I still don't know how they did it.
We talked other than about LeBron James's. Earlier in the playoffs, when they were starting, we said, I asked you guys, what would this mean for his legacy if he takes his team to the finals? Now, doesn't even win them. And you both said, greatest of all time.
I've been saying that I believe he is for a while now, regardless of the legacy. I think he's proven, has cemented his legacy in the last three finals.
Right. Right, but I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm still upset about the call before, 30 seconds before JR gets that rebound.
The call that was called by the official as a block. They reviewed to see where he was positioned, and they ended up calling it a block when probably should have been a charge. Yes, no?
That call. And the reason is, and I saw some back and forth online, and Dan Clayton, many of you follow him on Twitter. If you don't, go do so right now. He was going over the rules and everything, and he was on the side of, well, they made the right call, and that's what should matter. And while normally I agree with that, I don't feel like it was one of those definitive things. In the football world, when you have an official review, in order to overturn a call on the field, it has to be indisputable evidence, right?
Right.
Now, with that, was that indisputable LeBron moving, or is that one of those half-second moments where you're like, you know what, there's not enough there to overturn it?
Right.
And I get why they would want to go to the film, but the rules state that you look at that to determine if
he was in the restricted area or not.
Yeah, if he was in the circle. But he's 2 feet out of the circle, guys. There is no way between those three guys they can't say, yeah, he was out of there. If you're that far off with knowing where the restricted area is, you should not be officiating an NBA game.
What are your thoughts, John?
Yeah, for that situation, I don't remember seeing where the ref's eyes were, but it could have been just one of those bad things where all three of them did none of them happened to check his legs. It's the assignment of the lead or the guy on the side to have that, and it really should be the lead. But his eyes, I think his eyes were toward the upper body and looking for contact there. I don't think he checked in time to see where his feet were, and that's why they went to the play. He never got that registered in his head where his feet were.
Right. I mean, to be honest, I there was some bad officiating last night. I really didn't think this game was very well. I felt like the refs let them play a lot. Is that an excuse for a bad call or two? Probably not. But I felt like they let them play last night. I've seen some folks on Twitter suggest that the NBA referees had an agenda last night, and it was, I don't know if I'd go that far to say there was an agenda. I just know there was some pretty bad calls last night overall, and that's not the only one. But I don't think this game falls on calls. You know, J.R. Smith made a mental mistake at the end of the game, and whether or not that decided the outcome of the game is beyond me too, because you still go into overtime and you had a chance, and I don't know what happened, but suddenly in overtime, I mean, let's be fair, LeBron played 48 minutes last night, the most of anybody on the floor. Draymond Green ended up with 47 minutes. I mean, you've got to have help from your supporting cast, right? And I'm looking at the stats right now. LeBron James went to the free throw line 11 times, made 10 free throws. The rest of the team made 4 of 11 from the free throw line.
Yep.
I mean, or not 4 of 11, made 6 of 11.
6 of 11.
6 of 11. LeBron James took 2/3 of your free throws. Okay. And then let's go down the line. He scores 51 points on 19 of 32 shooting. Oh, by the way, he was the best 3-point shooter next to George Hill of the night at 3 of 7 from downtown, had 8 rebounds and 8 assists. John, I know you follow the TPA stuff. NBA Math tweeted out TPA this morning. I retweeted them both for Golden State and Cleveland. You ought to look at what I retweeted. And the stat of Cleveland pretty much sums up, Devin and I were talking off air, sums up the entire year for the Cavs and LeBron James. Look at how far out there LeBron James is over the rest of the team in TPA from NBA Math. It's ridiculous. And then you even compare it to Golden State. He's far out there far and away above anybody on Golden State as well. But at least on Golden State, they've got 3 players ahead of the rest. So the fact that the Cavs were even in this game is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we've been singing this song all year. This is, you know, the worst of any of LeBron's other finals teams going back to the Daniel Gibson team.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we sure? Because Boobie Gibson was the best player on that team besides LeBron James in 2007, right? I mean, really, right?
Yeah, it was him and Big Z, and I don't remember. I mean, it was a skeletal crew, and it was amazing they got to the finals. But I think that's just been a testament.
Right.
How ever since Jordan retired, the East has just been weaker.
And it's also a testament just how good LeBron James is, that his entire career, he's led teams like that to the NBA Finals every year, regardless of East or not.
Well, there's a lot of things you could say about LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James has never had a coach.
I don't know. Mike Brown might be one.
He had Spo.
But, and I thought Mike Brown did a decent job in Cleveland with him for a while there.
Wait a minute.
Those teams were good defensively.
Would you take any coach that LeBron has had over Quinn Snyder?
No.
No.
But I still argue Spolstra is a good coach.
So do I.
He's good, but I don't think he's great.
I look at his resume when LeBron hasn't been there. He's done pretty well with Miami.
Look at the absolute skeletal roster Miami had this year, and he got them to the playoffs. Yep.
I'm with John on this one. I know Devin, but I'm with John on this one. Spo's a good coach.
He's good. He's solid, but he's not great. He's never had what other superstars have had. He's never had a Greg Popovich. He's never had a Steve Kerr. He's never had a Phil Jackson.
No, he hasn't.
A lot of the teams that LeBron has lost in the finals to have had great coaches.
Well, you look at it this way. He won two rings with Spoelstra, and the two times he lost, which coaches did he lose to? He lost to Carlisle and Popovich. No shame in that.
Agreed.
And if you're going to put Steve Kerr on the list of coaching greats, we're going to need to have words.
Well, let's have words. I'm here. John's here.
Have the words. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, Steve Kerr's a good coach, but what was it last
year? How many wins?
Yeah, but what was it last year or the year before where he sat out more than half the season with health issues, whatever it was, and Luke Walton stepped in and did an admirable job? So let's not talk about what Steve Kerr's done. Steve Kerr's done a good job, yes, but I'm still going to argue you have the most talented team in the NBA. Anybody can coach that team.
You have the most talented.
No, they can't. They had...
Oh, here we go. Okay, go ahead, John.
Now I know the words. Okay, who did Kerr succeed?
Do we want to even mention that name on this podcast?
Jackson, the underperforming Mark Jackson. Ever since Kerr took over, they've been in the finals every year.
They still didn't have all that talent when Mark Jackson was there.
They won two out of three. They had enough of it. They had enough of it for Kerr's first 2 years. And KD didn't come along until Kerr's third year.
Mark Jackson still won 50-plus games with him.
Yeah, and choked in the playoffs.
Okay. I'm not taking away credit from Steve Kerr. I'm not. And I know one person listening to this show is going to totally give me what for the next time he sees me. Sean, I'm looking at you. I know. But Steve Kerr, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Yes, he's a good coach. But I'm not, and I'm going to say he's an even better GM as far as I'm concerned, because ever since he left Phoenix, they've never been the same. I don't think there's any disagreement from anybody on that one.
So by the time all is said and done, do you think Kerr is going to be up in there in the discussions? I don't think he'll be at the Pop level.
No.
But do you think that Kerr will be up there?
I think if he wins enough rings, yeah, because here's the thing you can always say about Pop. He won five rings, yes, and all five times he had Tim Duncan, one of the all-time greats.
Right.
And Kerr, it's going to be the same thing. If they win a ring this year, that's his third ring. And it's like, yeah, you had Durant for two of them, but it's like, so what?
Well, you look at Jackson, all of his rings, he had either a Kobe or a Jordan.
Okay, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens, Quinn Snyder, do they take this Golden State team to a championship? Okay, so you're putting them on the all-time greats coach list already then?
Sure. If they have that talent, they'd be all-time greats.
Okay.
But if you put something else, if you put something like, I don't know, Tibbs? No, I don't think so.
What about Budenholzer?
I don't know.
See, I make you think about that. See, I can start throwing out random names here is what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying that it's half of one, half of another. I agree. I'll give Kerr credit. He's a great coach. All-time great? I'm not sure yet. And part of that is due to how many different coaches can you put in his position in Golden State, and they're likely going to – the talent will likely get them there.
Yeah. You need that incredible all-star talent, and you need that good coach. And you can look at guys like Garnett, who went through his share of coaches and just never could quite get anything to work until he got the right talent and the right coach. And then he finally got his ring. And there are other guys like Anthony Davis. You know, I don't know if he ever wins a ring in New Orleans. I think he covered up a lot of Gentry's sins this year. But does anyone really see him winning a ring with Gentry?
No.
I don't think so.
But see, and here's my last argument on this subject. Okay. Luke Walton, is he a great coach?
We will see.
And the reason why I ask this is, could he lead Golden State to a championship? He did. Technically, he did for half a season.
Here's the thing, though. He was coaching in Kerr's system.
Right.
So there's that. There's the talent. But yeah, when he was coaching Kerr's system and he had that talent, he was great. What was he, like 30-5 for half of the year that he coached? Yeah,
he was ridiculous.
Something I think he had a better record like than Kerr did.
Yeah, he had a better record than Kerr that year.
But we'll see what Walton does in Los Angeles now.
I think he's doing a pretty admirable job with LA right now.
Yeah, I thought LA was going to be one of the worst teams this year, and they wound up finishing 11th. I want to say,
yeah,
something because it was really a 10-team race in the West, and then finally Nuggets and Clippers fell off there in the last week. Right. But right after them, it's the Lakers.
Right.
Lakers had a really good surge in the second half of the season.
Mm. Yeah.
So I am nervous if they get a big free agent this summer.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
They'll be right back in the playoffs.
Yeah, agreed. We went off on the coaching tangent for a minute, but anything, and a part of it had to do with LeBron and not having those great coaches. What else do you want to touch on with this NBA final? I mean, are we going to see this level of LeBron every night? I mean, 51 points. He put up, what, third most since 1970-something, I think it was, last night next to Jordan. And who was the other one? I'm already forgetting the name. I saw the names come up on Twitter and on ESPN last night. Jordan was one, and there was one other that scored 50-plus in a playoff game.
You want me to answer this for you?
Please.
John, I want you to do something for me really quick because I know you're sitting at a computer and you are our stat guru. Can you tell me what LeBron James has done over the last like 8 to 10 games?
Oh, yeah.
Because you look at what he did in Boston, and I think you're just going to see more of the same. I do predict that at least one game will get away from the Cavs and LeBron will actually get some rest.
Yeah. He's averaged 40 points a game, hasn't he? Pretty close.
Yeah, that Boston game was not overtime. He played all 48 minutes. Okay, here's his scoring of the past, I don't know, 8 games. 42, 27, 44, 26, 46, 35, 51.
I dare say if you add those up and divide them over that 8-game stretch, that's a 40-point per game stretch.
He's probably just under that. He's probably about 36 points per game, I would guess, because he had those two 20-point games.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But that's still, and the thing is, he's not the only one taking shots. Because you look at his assists over that time, he's probably averaging between 8 and 9 a game.
He's averaging just shy of a triple-double in the playoffs alone.
Yeah, just shy of a 40-point triple-double.
Yeah, he's having his second-best playoff run of his career.
I was looking at his stats. For the full playoffs, LeBron James averaging 41.6 minutes, 34.9 points, just under 55% field goal shooting, 35 from three, which it's LeBron. That's actually not bad for a big man.
That is good.
Let's see. Rebounds averaging 9.2, assists 8.7, 1.4 steals, 1.1 blocks. His turnovers are higher than I'd like to see him. He's at 4.2. But his efficiency is at a 37.7.
Dang. John, here's the crazy thing. You talk plus minus. Last night, he was just shy of triple-double, had 51 points, and he was a minus 13.
Yeah.
And he was easily the best player on the floor last night.
Yep. Yeah, he was a minus 13. They lost by 10. And so that means they're plus 3 in those few minutes he was off the floor. I don't really think that means that much. I just do find it fascinating that Korver was a plus 12. I think there's something there.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not going to disagree at all.
I'm surprised. I don't care how old he is. I'm surprised that Lou isn't playing Korver at least 25 minutes a game.
Well, I am, based on the comments he made the other day about what adjustments and putting Korver. Yeah, we're not going to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's another reason why I don't think Lou is coaching next year.
No.
Jeez.
And I actually think if the Cavs can get a good coach in there, it might be a reason LeBron stays. But I don't know. I'm going out on a limb here. But I think we've spent a lot of time in the NBA Finals. That's okay. We can move on. But I want to ask, okay, we're one game in. I felt like the Cavs' chances to win were really good last night to get that first game split. How do you see this series play out? Because judging from the way I watched last night, if LeBron keeps his feet under him and doesn't run out of gas, I mean, 48 minutes a night's going to kill you. But if he does, I could see this series going close to the distance, 6-7 games. Yes?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think Warriors in 5.
Do you?
I was thinking 5, yeah. Too.
Okay. All right.
Now, if this game had gone differently, does that change your opinion, John?
Yeah.
Would you be saying 6-7 games? Would you have any thoughts of Cleveland somehow pulling off the impossible?
If they won game one, then I would be thinking, hey, maybe it'll be in 6.
But you still think Warriors win. You'll still think no matter what, Warriors win.
Yeah.
What if
the only way I see Warriors losing is if they get another injury, like when Clay went down.
Right.
I'm like, oh my goodness, this could be an actual series, but he wound up being okay, and then they kept going, and rest is history there. But yeah, if they like lose somebody else, then I think Cavs have a chance. That's the only way I really see that happening.
And two keys for the Cavs in this series to even make it a series. You mentioned Kyle Korver. I agree. The one other player that I think has been something to watch for the Cavaliers is George Hill. When he's awful, they're awful. No matter how good LeBron is, if he's not getting help from George Hill and other wing players, specifically George, I'm looking at George, when he's not good, they are awful.
Well, it's a starting backcourt.
Yeah.
But I have to think that NBA champion J.R. Smith,
oh please,
could have a bounce back game.
Please, we're moving on from J.R. Smith. Okay, we're moving on.
I never thought I'd love him like this.
Come on,
you remember him in Denver and you just hated him.
But your boy Swaggy P's on the other side of the ball.
I love him too. we cancel the series and they just play games of 1-on-1.
Swaggy P, J.R. Smith 1-on-1 matchup.
Yes.
Winner takes all.
Winner takes all.
Oh boy. John, can you believe this? Come on.
Who do you take? John, who do you take?
Swaggy P.
Swaggy.
I'm going with J.R.
Oh,
I think.
Of course you are. All right. Let's move on from the NBA Finals talks. I think that's quite a bit to cover this week. Moving on to Devin's quick hits.
I don't know what I have. There's baseball happening, but we never talk baseball. There's the hockey. Have you guys been following the hockey?
Of course.
I think John has because he's been tweeting from the
Jedi
and Journal.
Las Vegas Golden Knights fan.
Yes, right, yes.
Right. That's we have that in common. I have been following them for as long as I can remember. So it's a tight series, right? Is that what it was at
yeah.
last I looked? 1-1?
Yeah, 1-1.
Any
now here's the thing. I think Knights can take this. If you look at it overall, they've been better at scoring. So Washington may think they turned it around in game two, but I think the Knights will come back. In their inaugural season.
lifelong fan.
Big
hey,
fan.
I became a fan their first year. Doesn't matter when in the first year.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay. Days after Real Madrid wins their third straight Champions League title, their manager steps down. Do you find that odd, or after you've won 3 in a row, maybe is it just time to do something else?
I think that's the case. I just won 3. What a great way to go out on top.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if he's fully retiring or what he's doing. Maybe he wants to go into, I don't know. Who knows? Broadcasting? He can do whatever he wants now.
So interesting to see what happens there. If you're a football fan, sounds like there may be some turnover in that roster. Obviously, a change in the manager. See what happens. Now, I swear I saw something about, and I'm not seeing it right now. There was a doping situation with a Jamaican runner. Does that sound familiar?
I might have seen it with one of my burner accounts.
Oh, we had
we got to go back to that. That's we're finishing on that. No, but didn't Usain Bolt lose his medals?
Usain Bolt. Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't him.
Yeah, he lost because it was his teammate.
Oh, because of his teammate.
So they were stripped of their one of the relay ones, I guess.
I was worried you were gonna crush my hopes and dreams of the fastest man in the world. Dude, nothing is better in the Olympics than watching the fastest man race. I don't care who it is right now. Usain Bolt, incredible. And if you were to say something about him and doping, I would have lost my mind.
Okay.
Here it is. Nesta Carter is the guy's name.
Oh, boy.
How mad do you have to be if you're Bolt?
I don't know.
Pretty mad.
Pretty mad, yeah.
Good thing he has others. If that was his only one, my goodness, furious.
Yeah.
Okay, next quick hit. Spelling bee. Is it a sport?
No.
It's a competition.
But it's not a sport.
It's not a sport. But it's a competition.
the look on Devin's face when you said competition.
Well, it is.
I know, but you... Devin.
But by those standards, aren't politics a competition like any election?
If you pick the winner at the end of the debate, sure.
I guess.
But they don't. But, you know, politics is more like whose line is it anyway?
Yeah.
Where there are no rules and the points don't matter.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still one of my favorite shows of all time.
And I guess they do put poker on the sports channels.
And bowling.
Yeah, they expand the definition pretty loosely. I'm cool with them expanding other competitions on there. I actually used to enjoy watching poker on TV. It used to be fun to watch how that went. There was a big craze in this country, it seems like, about 10 years ago with that.
Yeah.
You know, and then I watched blackjack on TV. And I'm like, this is nothing. Might as well watch poker.
I don't think we mentioned this, but we probably should if we haven't already. How do you feel about suit shorts?
Oh, you're referring to LeBron's little walk in the suit shorts in the suit coat yesterday.
He took a lot of heat for that.
Hey, first of all, when you're LeBron, you can pull off anything you want. I don't think it really matters. It shouldn't.
Before that, though, who would you associate with suit shorts? The first name that came to me was Alfalfa. You know? Alfalfa had suit shorts. And that's the only other person I could think of until I saw LeBron this week.
Alfalfa, that's a name I have not heard in a long time. Yeah, all right.
I know. Timely reference, I know. His peak popularity was 80 years ago. But
yeah,
that's what I thought of.
I just Googled suit shorts.
Uh-huh.
I'm wandering through the image search.
Whoa, not that one. Watch out. No, I'm kidding.
No one pulls it off like LeBron pulls it off. Let's be honest.
It's true.
Yeah, but he could bring back jorts and he would pull it off. So I'm glad he was never tempted to try bringing back the romper.
Oh boy. No. Please no. Please no.
'Tis the season. There's nothing I like more than a good romper in the summer.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Let's talk Philly.
Mm. Which burner account do you want me to tweet from?
Now here's the thing. There was an NBA Ringer podcast.
Yeah.
By Chris Ryan, and I can't remember the guy's name that broke the story, but it was really informative to listen to that, to get the background on how he broke the story, how long they've been working on it. Important to point out that Chris Ryan is a Sixers fan. I know it's funny that it's Bill Simmons' world, that broke this, and I've seen all the memes and Danny Ainge jokes and whatnot. But it was something that they had been looking at for months, and it was really interesting to watch the progress. And the key thing with this on how you know it's Colangelo is they went to the Sixers organization and they told, I think he said he went to one source about Colangelo, and that one source talked to Colangelo, and they said they didn't talk to anybody else. But as soon as he told him about the two burner accounts, they admitted that one of them was Colangelo and they didn't know about the other one. But he was following on a list, and he watched, and he said within half an hour of him talking about that, the other three accounts he suspected that he did not name all went private. And that was kind of the nail in the coffin for him in getting the verification that, yeah, these are all Brian's.
Okay, so for those...
And then they went with the story.
I imagine everyone listening, almost everyone listening, is familiar with it. For those who aren't, let's break down the news story as it happened real quick. Colangelo did what?
Okay, so there are these Twitter accounts that are, you know, bashing different players, bashing different decisions the Sixers made, but they're always pro Colangelo and anti Sam Hinkie, and they seem to have insider information. And one of them, a key one, was midseason last year, Jahlil Okafor started sitting out games because they were going to trade him. And then the trade wound up not happening, and he wound up playing the rest of the season. One of these accounts kept trying to get other reporters to ask Okafor if he failed a physical. And they were really pushing this. The trade probably didn't happen because he failed a physical. And he would tweet reporters saying, why don't you ask him about a failed physical, trying to get them to do it. Front office can't do that. But if they could get a reporter to ask him, then he can be the bad guy in that situation. And there are just different players. There's one where he tweeted that Brett Brown just didn't want Nerlens Noel in his locker room, period. There was one that was very interesting in February where they were saying, why don't they play Ben Simmons? Are they just being too cautious? Because Ben Simmons, by February, it sounded like probably would have been healthy enough to play. And this account said, if he sits out for the year, then he has a chance of being rookie of the year next year. And Donovan Mitchell liked that tweet. And, you know, there's a lot of just interesting stuff in there. And a lot of it is, you know, praising the decisions Colangelo's made, trashing decisions Hinkie's made, trying to make Hinkie look overrated, trying to motivate players. Embiid had a lot of fun with it for a day doing memes and whatnot. But it was very interesting to see this subtle, anonymous way of this GM trying to, you know, influence certain things. And the Sixers have said they're doing an internal investigation, so it's still open. Colangelo is denying it. He's saying he's framed. I don't see – this is one heck of a long con.
Yeah.
If it's someone framing him. Someone looked at the burner accounts and saw that four of them – all had a number that ends in 91 as the registered phone number associated with those accounts. And that happens to be Brian Colangelo's wife's phone ends in 91. So just, you know, interesting things. It's still, a lot of it is still just circumstantial, but it's these are heck of a circumstance.
Yeah.
This is looking pretty damning. So we'll see what the Sixers organization finds in their internal review, but it looks bad for him.
I just love how many people have jumped on board, including the Jedi and Germs account, calling their accounts burner accounts now.
Yeah.
But let's be fair here for a minute. I mean, this is a classic case of somebody getting caught. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say there are more burner accounts out there for GMs than I think people realize. Okay? And there are GMs and folks running under the radar with accounts. Incognito accounts. I mean, heaven forbid, what, last year was it? Last summer or the summer before, where Kevin Durant got in trouble because or got out in the spotlight because he had a burner.
Tweeting for a burner account.
Yeah, because I had a burner account. So this is not the first time it's happened, nor is it the first time it is happening. It just happens to be another classic case of a guy got caught. And
yeah.
To me, this is crazy, but I don't know that this changes social media and what continues to happen. I just think that this brings to light that, folks, this happens, and it happens regularly. And it doesn't just happen with the Sixers. It doesn't just happen with Kevin Durant. This happens across the board.
No. Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly okay with, I don't care if GMs have these anonymous accounts just to like keep their pulse on things. But he was using it to try to, you know, steer storylines and damage reputations. And
yeah,
just,
that's,
you know, just felt underhanded. I mean, I'm cool with GMs keeping their finger on the pulse, players keeping their finger on the pulse. I mean, the Durant thing, it's just funny.
Right.
And it was funny because we actually got something accidentally true out of him.
Right.
And that's the bottom line, is ultimately it's really just a funny story. It's not like corruption. It's just funny that it got caught.
Sorry, you know? Sorry if I made it sound like corruption. I'm just trying to put it out there that this happens a lot, and the underhandedness of it is a little unfortunate, because that just, yeah, that's unfortunate, extremely unfortunate. But that said,
yeah,
it happens a lot of it. On a regular basis. So, so yes, if you hear anybody listening, you know, burner accounts is going to be the joke of the year for a while. All right. That's it for Devin's quick hits. Let's move. Is right, Devin? Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay. That's it for Devin's quick hits. Moving on to pop culture. John, we have a movie to talk about.
Yes, we do.
And before we talk about it, if you're listening to this episode and you have not seen Solo, A Star Wars Story, please pause this recording now and come back to it after you have seen the movie, because there is likely to be spoilers in this conversation. Once again, if you have not seen Solo, A Star Wars Story, pause and come back and listen to the rest of it later.
Okay, I gotta go, guys.
Okay. You don't even care. That's why I said it. John, what'd you think of Solo?
I liked it. I had low expectations. I was entertained throughout. There are aspects of it I didn't care for. I'll say this. I think the guy playing Solo was fine. I like that actor. I think it would have been really hard for anyone to be able to jump into that role and just capture the charisma that Harrison Ford had. Overall, I thought he did a good job. I was happy following him. I thought it was electric when him and Lando got together. I liked all the stuff with Chewie. I really liked Woody Harrelson's character and his troop. I didn't like Kira. I like that actress when she's on Game of Thrones, but when I've seen her in other roles, she just doesn't do it for me, and I thought she was a weak link in the cast.
Really?
Yeah.
What about it did you not like?
It's just kind of bland.
Okay.
There's supposed to be layers to that character, and yeah, it just didn't do it for me. I thought she was very similar to Felicity Jones, and Felicity Jones was better.
Okay. Okay. It's funny, I started this topic off by saying that there could be spoilers, and we haven't really touched on any yet, but I mean, we can, but this movie for me, I really, really enjoyed it. I went in with low expectations, to be fair, mostly because I mean, it's another Star Wars story like Rogue One. I enjoy the Star Wars stories, but they're not, for me, they're not the main event, right? To me, yeah. they're just separate side stories from the main event, which is the saga. And so I've enjoyed episodes 8 and 9, or I mean, excuse me, 7 and 8, and with 9 coming in 18 months. So, but I've been saying this to a few people, and people are laughing at me. Some folks are laughing at me for this. I enjoyed this film more than I did Rogue One.
See, I don't have a problem with that. I liked Rogue One more, but these, to me, I compare Star Wars to Marvel in this respect. The main Star Wars saga is like the Avengers.
Okay.
And those are the most important ones, and those are the through ones.
Right.
And Rogue One and Solo, that's like the Ant-Man movie or the Doctor Strange movie. It's cool, and it ties into the main thing, but they really can be whatever they want. You can be more creative on them. You can do more things with them. They don't really matter ultimately to the main saga. I mean, they fit in timeline-wise, and they're using a lot of the characters, but they are films to be enjoyed on their own. Now, Solo really opened itself up for a sequel.
Yes, it did.
Which I'd be happy to watch if they made it. I don't, I, doubt they will, just because of the, what the box office is doing. It's going to be profitable, but just not near as profitable as previous Star Wars movies.
And I'm going to disagree. I think they're going to go ahead with them anyway, because my understanding is Alden is under contract for additional shows anyway. That's my understanding of what I heard. But I still think
have that script and not put him under contract for multiple possibilities.
I just still think they're going to proceed. I think the biggest part of why it was such a drop off for Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to preface that by saying that it was still one of the most successful Memorial Day weekends in quite a while. It was still extremely successful. But I think the reason why it didn't do as well is it was Memorial Day weekend. And it's hard to pit it in, on a Memorial Day weekend following, you know, four to 6 weeks following Avengers, 2 weeks following, you know, Deadpool 2. That's a large task to accomplish. So if anything, I felt like timing was against Solo on being profitable. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I will say this though. It actually underperformed what X-Men Days of Future Past did on the weekend in 2014. Okay. It did better than every movie that's opened on Memorial Day since, but I think that's a barometer to look at. My thought on this, I mean, a lot of people saying it's a big disappointment. I look at it in the perspective of, okay, what's its budget? What's it's going to make? What's the long-term IP they're getting out of this? They're still going to sell a ton of toys. They can still tie it in all over the place. It's still profitable. It's just not going to be the $1.5 billion profitable. It's probably going to be more like an $800 million worldwide type of movie. And that's fine. And I think that should be expected for these standalones. I think the standalones can have lower pressure. I also think that they haven't quite got it figured out on the Marvel level yet, where this is the second Star Wars movie in 6 months. And then Part 9's coming out in December, so that's three Star Wars movies.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
In 365 days. What, did they postpone 9?
2019.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Yeah, it was always for 2019. Solo, see, they originally were going to – original release date for Episode 9 was May of next year. Original release date.
Yes.
They bumped it. J.J. Abrams came back in and bumped it to back to December. So we're 18 months away till the next one.
No, you're right. You're right. I knew that.
So
they did that months ago.
But I'm with you. But even at $800 million, that's enough to do a sequel, and I still think they could.
Yeah, they could. And I think it would make money too. I think part of the reason why Rogue One was successful is you knew it wouldn't be a sequel.
True.
It is its own thing. Solo also had a really troubled production history. You had Lord and Miller, the duo who directed Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and the Lego movie. They were only a few weeks away from finishing filming, but the producers were so unhappy with the tone of the movie that they just wound up firing him and had brought Ron Howard on board, and he reshot a ton.
Which, by the way, he did a brilliant job.
Yeah. And we don't know how much they changed. We do know that Dryden Voss, that Paul Bettany plays, he was not in the original movie. He wasn't brought in for the Ron Howard rewrites.
Yes.
So who knows what that movie was looking like. I just remember seeing that they felt like the Solo movie was too comical and they were kind of missing...
Well, and the overall tone of this film reflected Ron Howard, if you will, even down to the fact that he cameoed his brother like he always does in his films.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and he brought back.
I got a kick out of it. He brought back what?
Yeah. This is the second time Ron Howard has directed Warwick Davis.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, it was nice to see that. There are some big tie-ins to... Well, I mean, let's be fair too. This was a very well-written movie. It was written by Lawrence Kasdan, who also wrote The Force Awakens, who also wrote Empire Strikes Back. If anybody understands Han Solo better, it is
Kasdan.
So, and it's the imprint of Kasdan in this film is there too, because you see so many callbacks to Empire, so many callbacks and so many parallels to The Force Awakens too. I'm just going to go out there. There are some definite parallels to both of those films in this film. And I just, yeah. I just felt like that both Kasdan and Ron Howard did such a brilliant job on this that they could cover up whatever inconsistencies that Lord Miller probably had, especially when they had to reshoot it. I mean, Ron Howard was under a time constraint and did a marvelous job, I think.
Yeah.
So, some cameos, some surprise cameos. I don't know how spoilerific we really want to get into it. You mentioned on Twitter to me the other day about one of the spoilers that you were surprised at. So
I'm glad I didn't know it. And I since looked up a timeline to explain it.
Yes.
And so for people who don't know, I think it's good for them to go ahead and get that surprise. And then after the movie, look up, see how that was possible.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I liked it. And it's open for that sequel. And that would be a cool sequel.
Yes.
I doubt it'll happen, but, you know.
Well, and I
it's
was
there. They could do it.
And I told you I was happy to explain that timeline for you as well for that character. So anybody listening that has seen it, if you want a timeline of the character, yes, you can look it up. I'll be more than happy to explain it too. There are so many things I have read and been very interested in his timeline from day one. So
it's
I thought the way they I thought it fits very well. The timeline, the way they did it, fits
very
well.
Rotten Tomatoes had a write up. I read the write up on Rotten Tomatoes on how that all works.
And also the voice. Is a popular voice who has played him. So.
Okay, now it's getting too obvious.
I'm stopping right there.
Okay.
Besides, I preface this with spoilers, but anyway. Solo is good. I enjoyed it. I'd give it a thumbs up, and I expect week two. We're just starting weekend number two. I think week two is going to, I still think it's going to hold the number one spot. And I still think it's going to rake in a fair amount of cash for its second week.
Yeah.
So, you wanted to talk one more item on pop culture.
Yeah. I saw the documentary RBG at the Broadway last week. It is not too many documentaries come to Utah, but this one wound up cracking into the top 10. It's all about Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's a very loving tribute. It's obviously made by fans, and it shows kind of her journey, her whole journey. And it's a really interesting one. She really was a pioneer in a lot of legal issues, especially when it came to equal rights, women's rights in the workplace, and so forth. And it's just, you know, kind of cool to get to know a justice at this level, this intimately. We're not really allowed to get to know the justices, and I think part of that's a good thing. I'm glad they don't let cameras in the Supreme Court, because it could get that much more showboaty. I think anytime you watch C-SPAN, and who watches C-SPAN? But if you ever do watch C-SPAN, you can see just how grandstanding the whole thing is.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's 84. She's actually a very shy person. She's not one to toot her own horn. She had a extroverted husband who was really great for her, cheerleading her success and helping her advance. And, you know, she's not the kind of person who on her own would have pursued the Supreme Court, but her husband had plenty of connections, and he was a super successful lawyer in his own right, that he was able to talk to enough people to get her on the list to be interviewed. And that's how she became the second female Supreme Court justice. So, you know, it was cool.
I'm still stuck on the fact that you suggested anybody would watch C-SPAN, but anyway.
I've watched C-SPAN.
Well,
anytime there's a congressional hearing I'm interested in, I've been known to tune in and watch it. And
okay, well, I've tuned in before, and about a second and a half in, I just went, okay, no thanks, and clicked.
Yeah,
and
if you ever change just to see what's on, I guarantee it'll be boring.
Yeah. Very, 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 very boring. All right. Any other thoughts on pop culture, Devin? You don't anything you've been binge watching still to throw in there?
I haven't been binge watching anything. I watched a few episodes of Lovesick, I think.
I did see you mention that on Twitter.
Did I mention that on Twitter?
I thought you did.
It was okay.
I thought we mentioned it briefly last week too.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
This was one of those looking for something on a Friday night to watch. And
okay.
But after that, I decided I didn't want to binge watch that. I wanted to watch a movie. So I found movies to watch this weekend, and I watched two of the Captain America movies.
Wow. Devin's catching up.
I watched Winter Soldier, and then I watched Civil War. And I know that I missed something in the middle there.
Have you seen the first Avenger, the very first one? Or the first, yeah.
I do believe
Captain America?
I do believe it is in the room.
So you haven't watched the first Captain America yet?
I believe I have watched that one.
Okay,
like,
good.
Like, it's here. I can go grab it off the shelf.
Okay, so. Good. Well, at least you watched the two.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up on some of these things and see what's out there and at least be in the know. But that's the problem with getting behind on what's hip and in, is when you go to catch up, you kind of have to do it in order.
Yeah, you do, which is why somebody's still hanging on to some Star Wars movies that he was supposed to watch in order and hasn't.
Oh, I took those to the DI.
Jerk. all right. Well, I'm glad you're catching up a little bit.
Yeah, it's something to watch. And, you know, I saw Doctor Strange was on Netflix, so that might be one for this weekend.
Yes.
Just kind of filling in the gaps.
All right. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
John, he's growing up right before our eyes.
Fighting tears here.
All right, let's.
All right,
let's move on.
If that's all for this week's pop culture, then that is everything for this week's Jedi and Germs. We want to thank you all for joining us. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts, TuneIn Radio. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you listen, find us, Jedi and Germs. Like us, leave a review. It helps us out immensely. Join our discussion on Twitter, on social media outlets, and let us know what you think of the show. We appreciate any and all feedback. We'd love it. Thank you all for joining us yet again. Have a great weekend and week to come. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.